This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
ولما جاء عيسى بالبينات قال قد جئتكم بالحكمة ولأبين لكم.
So we inshallah ta'ala today are going to complete the tafsir of Surah Al-Layl. Earlier on in the week before, we had done the first half of Surah Al-Layl, and now inshallah ta'ala we're going to start from the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, فَأَنذَرْتُكُمْ نَارًا تَلَظَّى. فَأَنذَرْتُكُمْ نَارًا تَلَظَّى. I have warned you of a fire. تَلَظَّى. Imam Ibn Jarir, he said, as Mujahid said rahimahumullah ta'ala, تَوَهَّجْ, that it is completely, it's a burning blaze, it's completely on fire, in flames. I have warned you of a fire that is in flames. تَلَظَّى. لَا يَصْلَاهَا إِلَّا الْأَشْقَى. As for the statement, فَأَنذَرْتُكُمْ نَارًا تَلَظَّى. For example, there are ahadith in this regard, from the ahadith of An-Nu'man ibn Bashir and others. There is a hadith that the Prophet in Musnad Imam Ahmad, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he warned the people of the fire to the extent that even the people in the marketplaces would hear his warning, and from even the people far away from his masjid would hear him and hear his warning to the people of the fire. لا يصلها إلا الأشقى. لا يصلها. What is the meaning of لا يصلها? Because what it would first be taken to mean, or what you would first understand from it, is that none will enter it. لا يصلها. None will enter it except for الأشقى. Now, the first issue we're going to deal with is this word يَصْلَاهَا. So it has two meanings that come in the Quran. One is entering the fire, and one is being completely surrounded and encased by it and burning in it. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. As for what the scholars, they say, الْإِحَاطَ وَالْخُلُودِ, the fire surrounding them and being in the fire forever, then none of the people of Iman will have the punishment of being in the fire forever. Anyone who died from the people of At-Tawheed, from the people who worshipped Allah Azza wa Jal alone and with no partner, and they brought the minimum conditions that are required for a person to remain as a Muslim, that person will not remain in the fire forever. They will not remain in the fire forever. But they may enter the fire, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, for a period of time. They may enter the fire for a period of time. So this word, لَا يَصْلَاهَا, it comes with both of these two meanings. Entering into the fire and being completely surrounded by it and burning within it, or burning within it. لَا يَصْلَاهَا إِلَّا الْأَشْقَى. None will enter it, or none will burn within it, except for Al-Ashqa. Al-Ashqa comes from the word Shaqi, and it's on the pattern Afdal, Tafdil, meaning the most wretched. لا يصلها إلا الأشقى. But here the scholars of Tafsir, they differed. Is the meaning here of Al-Ashqa, does it mean the most wretched, or does it just simply mean someone who is wretched? Meaning, لا يصلها إلا الشقي. No one will enter it except for the wretched person. Or does it mean the one that is the most wretched? What it appears is that it doesn't here mean the most wretched. It doesn't here mean the most. Even though أفضل, the pattern أشقى, like which is on the pattern afdal, it can mean the most. But it's also sometimes used in the Quran and other in also before in Arabic poetry to mean the characteristic itself. So لا يصلاها إلا الأشقى لا يصلاها إلا الشقي. No one enters it except for the شقي. However, the scholars who said لا يصلاها إلا الأشقى, that it means the most wretched. None will enter it except for the most wretched. How did they reconcile between that and the fact that there will be people who enter the fire of different levels of wretchedness and different severity of disbelief in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal? So how could we possibly reconcile the ayah if the word ashqa means the most wretched? Nobody will enter the fire except for the most wretched. Then they said here that the most wretched here, it doesn't necessarily have to refer to one person or one group of people. Only that all of them are equally wretched, like they're equally bad. So it doesn't have to refer to just one kind of person or one group of people. لا يصلاها إلا الأشقى. None will enter it except for the most wretched. Rather, it can also refer to many different types of people, all of whom are wretched, but they're all as bad as each other. That's one way that you could reconcile. But the easier way or the easiest explanation is to say that the word ashqa here, it doesn't mean the most wretched, but it means except one who is wretched. And that has evidence in poetry, like the statement of the poet, تَمَنَّ رِجَالٌ أَنْ أَمُوتَ وَإِنْ أَمُتْ فَتِلْكَ طَرِيقٌ لَسْتُ فِيهَا بِأَوْحَدِ. He said that a group of men wish for me to die, and if I were to die, then this is a path that I am not أَوْحَد, meaning I am not wahid, I'm not the only one who will experience it. So in any case, this is a proof from poetry for the use of the word أفضل التفضيل, or the pattern أفضل, like أشقى, to use it to mean the description itself, to mean the صفة itself, يعني شقي. لا يصلاها إلا الشقي. No one will enter it except for the one who is wretched, and the one who is wretched can be of many different levels of severity, different levels of disbelief, can include also the believer who had committed major sins. All of these things are possible if we take the word ashqa, that it doesn't mean the most wretched, but it means the wretched one. لا يصلاها إلا الأشقى. الذي كذب وتولى. الذي كذب وتولى. The one who denies and turns away. The one who denies and turns away. Now here, denying and turning away, the reason these two are mentioned together is the denial is a denial of the heart, disbelief that starts off in the heart. And turning away is the action of the limbs that results from that disbelief in the heart. So, لا يصلاها إلا الأشقى, none will enter it except for the wretched one, the one who denied and turned away. So if we say the one who denied and turned away is the disbeliever, then how can we reconcile between this and the fact that there will be some Muslims who are punished in the fire? Then this is to say that the word yasla, as we said, has two meanings. One is generally to enter the fire, and the other one is to be completely surrounded and to be burnt within it forever. And that will only be for the disbeliever. So the one who disbelieved in Allah Azza wa Jal and the one who turned away completely from the religion of Islam, that person will be punished in the fire forever. As for the Muslim who will enter the fire because of some of the sins that they did, if Allah wishes, He will forgive them, and if Allah wishes, He will punish them. And if they're punished, they will not be punished in there forever. الَّذِي كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى. The one who denied with his heart, وَتَوَلَّى, and turned away with his limbs or with his actions. Denied with his heart and turned away, وَتَوَلَّى بِأَعْمَالِهِ, with his actions. وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى. And the أَتْقَى will be kept away from it. وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى. The atqa will be kept away from it. لا يصلها إلا الأشقى الذي كذب وتولى وسيجنبها الأتقى. The atqa will be kept away from it. So the atqa is in the same pattern as the word ashqa. So the same discussion is going to be mentioned here. But atqa, it comes from at-taqwa. We've already mentioned at-taqwa previously in these tafsir classes. And we've said that at-taqwa is to put a barrier between you and between something that you're scared of, and in Islam, to put a barrier between you and between the punishment of Allah, His anger, His curse, and the hellfire. So here again, if it refers to al-atqa, the most, the people of the most taqwa will be kept away from it. The people of the most taqwa. This is where some of the scholars of tafsir, they said, the ayah, they said, nazalat fi Abi Bakr. It was revealed about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. Because Abu Bakr as-Siddiq is the most, has the most taqwa after the prophets and the messengers, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. They said that this, that the one with the most taqwa will be kept away from it. They said this ayah was revealed about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. However, we're going to say the same thing again, that the word atqa here doesn't have to mean the most. And the most, the more apparent meaning here is that al-atqa is at-taqi, the person of taqwa. Among whom, no doubt, Abu Bakr is among the most deserving of the people to be described with that, radiallahu anhu, is the best of the Sahaba and the best of the people after the prophets and the messengers, alayhim salatu wassalam, is Abu Bakr, no doubt. But there's no need to limit this ayah only to Abu Bakr. If we say that the word atqa doesn't mean the most, but it means at-taqi, the person of taqwa. So the person of taqwa will be kept away from it, and among the people of taqwa, and among the most deserving of the people to be described with that description is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَالَهُ يَتَزَكَّى. The one who gave his wealth, يَتَزَكَّى. Purifying it. Here, there's a very, very important statement of Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala. Ibn Kathir, he said, يَصْرِفُ مَالَهُ فِي طَاعَةِ رَبِّهِ لِيُزَكِّيَ نَفْسَهُ وَمَالَهُ وَمَا وَهَبَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ دِينٍ وَدُنْيَا. He said, the person spends their wealth in obedience to their Lord, in order to purify themselves and their wealth, and what Allah has given them from their religion and their dunya. What's very important about this statement of Ibn Kathir is that Ibn Kathir didn't restrict this zakah here to mean purifying the wealth. Rather, the zakah purifies the wealth and it purifies the person as well. How does giving charity purify a person? We understand it purifies the wealth. We understand one of the reasons of one of the purposes of zakah is to purify the wealth from the unknown elements that might have touched it, from the haram, from the things that were not right. It purifies the wealth. But how does it purify the person? It purifies the person by keeping them away from al-bukhl, stinginess, shuh, being self-centered, not caring about other people, having a hard heart. All of these things are purified by giving sadaqah. All of them are purified by a sadaqah, by a sadaqat, by giving charity. So subhanAllah, one of the things we see from this is that charity is not something that just purifies your wealth. Charity is something that purifies your heart. It softens your heart. It brings about purity of the heart. It brings about forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It brings about a cure for some of the sicknesses of the heart, as well as purifying the person's wealth. So here there's no need for us to limit the ayah. الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَالَهُ يَتَزَكَّى. The one who gives his wealth purifying. There's no need for us to limit it to purifying the wealth only. Rather purifying the wealth and purifying the self. So that tells us that a sadaqah is from the means to achieve tazkiyatun nafs, purification of the self. Then we come to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِن نِعْمَةٍ تُجَزَى. This is a very important ayah. We're going to take a little bit of time to understand this ayah properly. So this ayah is still describing al-atqa. It's describing the person with the most taqwa, or it's describing the people of taqwa. If we said it's the person with the most taqwa, a huge number of the scholars, they said this ayah was these ayat were revealed about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, i.e. the person with the most taqwa after the prophets and the messengers, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. So in any case, whether we're talking about Abu Bakr as an individual or we're talking about people of taqwa in general, the first description is at-taqwa, protecting themselves from the punishment of Allah. The second description is الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَالَهُ يَتَزَكَّى, the one who gives their wealth to purify themselves and to purify their wealth. وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِن نِعْمَةٍ تُجَزَى. Now let's start with just the words. وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ, there is no one, عِنْدَهُ, regarding him, مِن نِعْمَةٍ, that has any favor, تُجَزَى, that can be repaid. There is no one that has a favor over him that to be repaid. There is no one that has a favor over him to be repaid. What does this mean? The scholars of tafsir, they had two opinions with regard to this. The majority, they spoke about it in the past. But both of the two opinions are very similar to each other in a general sense. They refer to the fact that when a person gives this charity, they have there's nothing that they're paying back. There's no favor they're paying back. There's no favor that they are paying back. When you think about this, imagine if someone did something nice to you, kind to you. You feel a need to pay them back. It might be that you give them some help, maybe even sadaqah, maybe even zakah, because you remember that in better times, they helped you out. That's not the description here. وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِن نِعْمَةٍ تُجَزَى. There is no one that has a favor over them. In other words, the wealth that they give is completely for Allah. There is no reason for them to give it. There's no expectation for them to give it. There's no favor that's been done that they're repaying back. It is something that is purely for Allah. إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. We only feed you for the sake of Allah. We don't want any reward from you or any thanks. There's no jaza. It's not mukafa'a. It's not mukafa'a, where they did something for you, then you do something for them. And this ayah can be used as, in fact, first of all, before we talk about that, we'll talk about the second opinion, which is that this relates to the future, meaning that the person gives, the majority of the scholars, they said in the past, meaning they're giving without any favors having been done to them in the past. That's the opinion of the majority of the scholars of tafsir, Ibn Kathir and others, rahimahullahu ta'ala wa rahimallahu jami'. They said that no favor has been done for them in the past as a reason for them to give the money that they're giving. There's no favor being done for them. The second opinion is that it refers to the future, meaning that they're not waiting for a favor in return. They're not waiting for a favor in return. They're not waiting for someone to do something in return. So there's nothing being done for them in the past, nor are they expecting anything to be done in the future. And one of the things you can see about these two opinions is that they're complementary. They don't have to contradict each other. So we can take them both together, inshallah, and say that they're both correct. The person has had no favor done to them in the past to justify the sadaqah they give, nor are they expecting any favor in the future in return for the sadaqah that they've given. And that is ihsan when it comes to sadaqah. It's the highest level of iman as it relates to the sadaqah. As for the person who is mukafit, they give what is given to them, then this person has done good. There's khair. You know, somebody did what is done for them. Like someone did good for you and you did good in return. Someone was kind to you, you did kindness in return. Someone helped you out when things were difficult for you, so you helped them out when things are difficult for them. This is a good thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a praiseworthy attribute that we all should develop, that habit of that we try to repay someone back. Like the Prophet ﷺ, he said in an authentic hadith, مَنْ صَنَعَ إِلَيْكُمْ مَعْرُوفًا فَكَافِئُوا. Whoever does a good deed for you, something good for you, try to pay him back. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَجِدُوا مَا تُكَافِئُونَهُ فَدْعُوا لَهُ حَتَّى تَرَوْا أَنَّكُمْ قَدْ كَافَأْتُمُ. He said that if you don't find what you can pay them back with, then make dua for them until you think that you have paid them back. You make dua for, you pay them back in dua. But the most complete example of iman that deserves to be said for al-atqa, the one with the most taqwa, is to say that this person gives their sadaqah without any favor having been done for them in the past and without expecting anything in the future. They don't expect dua. They don't want dua. Even in this, you see some people when they give sadaqah, they'll say, like someone will say, oh, can I give you something back? You say, no, don't give me anything, just your dua. Even this is better that a person doesn't say it if they want to achieve the highest level of iman as it and ihsan as it relates to sadaqah. They don't even ask for dua in return. Because dua can pay you back. Like the Prophet ﷺ said, فَدْعُوا لَهُ. Then make dua for that person. فَدْعُوا لَهُ حَتَّى تَرَوْا أَنَّكُمْ قَدْ كَافَأْتُمُ. Until you see that you've paid them back. So even dua could be considered to be a way of a person being paid back for the good that they've done. That I'm just giving you this, just make dua for me. Rather, even better than that is you don't ask them for anything. You give them without having anything having been done to you in the past or for you in the past, and you don't expect anything from it in the future. Also here, there is one thing or a limit here mentioned in the ayah, and that is ni'matin tujaza, a favor that can be paid back. Because there are some favors people do for you, you can never pay them back. Like inviting you to Islam, or a person being guided to Islam through someone. This is a ni'mah, la tujza, you can't repay it, you can't give it back. This is something that they can only receive the reward from it, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what some of the scholars, they said that here, the favors that are mentioned are the favors that can be paid back, like somebody gave you some help, financial help, somebody was there for you when you needed them, and so on. But this ayah has a broader understanding to it. And that is that this ayah indicates that if you want to reach for the highest levels of iman, you should not be in the habit of taking things from anyone, or taking favors from anyone, or asking favors from anyone ever. وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجَزَى. This person has no one that owes them a favor. No one that did a favor for them. And even though this has to have some limits in the understanding, because the Prophet ﷺ himself, salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi, he used to try to give back. If someone gave him something, he would try to give it back and so on. You can't live without having sometimes people do things for you, acts of kindness, but not seeking acts of kindness from anyone. This is ihsan. Not seeking an act of kindness from anyone or expecting an act of kindness from anyone. And that is the highest level of sincerity and ihsan in this particular area. That you don't ask for a favor from anybody. And you don't expect a favor from anyone. You give and you don't mind if the people accept it from you or don't accept it, if they give return or they don't ever think of you again, if they have good words to say or bad words to say, it doesn't make any difference to you. Because you did it solely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Only for Allah's sake. It's narrated from the Prophet ﷺ in a hadith narrated by Imam al-Tirmidhi. That Imam al-Tirmidhi narrated from the Prophet ﷺ that he said, مَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَنَا يَدْ إِلَّا كَفَأْنَاهُ مَا خَلَى أَبِي بَكْرٍ فَإِنَّ لَهُ عِنْدَنَا يَدًا يُكَافِئُهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, there is no one that has any favor over me except that I've paid them back. The Prophet ﷺ, except that I've repaid them. Except for Abu Bakr. For Abu Bakr did me a favor that Allah will pay him back for Yawm al-Qiyamah. The hadith is in At-Tirmidhi and Shaykh al-Albani said is hadith on Sahih. It's an authentic hadith. That everyone who's ever done a favor for me, I paid them back. I gave them back. Except for Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr has a favor that only Allah Azza wa Jal, he will give him the reward for it, Yawm al-Qiyamah. And that's from the virtue of Abu Bakr. And many of the scholars of tafsir, they said these ayat were revealed about Abu Bakr. So it's not surprising that we should find that in that context. But what I wanted to take is that the Prophet ﷺ, his habit was to give back. When someone would give him a gift, he would give a gift in return. Even to the point that Aisha radiallahu anha, when she would give sadaqah, when she would give a sadaqah, she would say to the servant who would distribute it, she would say that, مَا قَالُوا, what did they say? So the servant would say, قَالُوا بَارَكَ اللَّهُ فِيكُمْ. They said, بَارَكَ اللَّهُ فِيكُمْ. Aisha would say, وَفِيهِمْ بَارَكَ اللَّهُ. She would say, may Allah bless them. Why? She would say, نَرُدُّ عَلَيْهِمْ مِثْلَ مَا قَالُوا وَيَبْقَى أَجَرُنَا أَجْرُنَا لَنَا. She said that what we would do is, we would respond to them with the same that they said, so that we can keep the reward. So we can keep the reward. SubhanAllah, it's a beautiful example. So she would give sadaqah. When she would give the sadaqah, she would send it with the servant. When she would send the sadaqah, the servant gives the sadaqah. What would the servant, what would the person getting the sadaqah do? Say, Jazakallahu khairan. What would Aisha say? May Allah reward you too. Why? Because she doesn't want that to be paying back. She wants the reward of giving without anything in return. She wanted the reward of giving without anything in return. But Jazakallahu khairan could be something in return. So what she would do is, when they would say Barakallahu feekum, she would say, وَفِيهِمْ بَارَكَ اللَّهُ, and may Allah bless them. So that she's paid them back for saying Barakallahu feekum. She paid them back for saying Barakallahu feekum. She's paid them back for that, for saying Barakallahu feekum. And she has the reward of giving the sadaqah. So even with Jazakallahu khayran, this is to the extent the Sahaba took it, even Jazakallahu khayran, they would pay it back. Even Barakallahu feeka, they would pay it back. They wouldn't let someone say Jazakallahu khairan or someone say Barakallahu feek without saying the same thing back to them. So that the reward stays for them. Otherwise they used to fear that maybe I gave a sadaqah. The person said Jazakallahu khairan. So now we are equal. But I want to be from the people about whom Allah said وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِن نِعْمَةٍ تُجَزَى. There is no one that has any favor over them that can be paid back. No one has any favor over them that can be paid back. So I want to be, even when they say Jazakallahu khayran, I will say, and may Allah reward you, wa iyyak. Or I will say, wa jazakallahu khayran, and may Allah reward you too. Barakallahu feekum, wa feekum barakallahu, and may Allah bless you too. So that we are equal in this, and the sadaqah remains a reward for me. There's nothing wrong with you giving sadaqah and not waiting for the response or not saying wafika barakallah or something. That's absolutely fine. But we're talking about the one who wants to be among the best of the people of taqwa. We're talking about striving for the highest levels of taqwa. Then no doubt for a person not to have any favor that anyone did for them, not to have any blessing over them or any favor over them, this is from among the best things that a person can aim for. And that a person always tries to pay people back. If they can't pay people back in kind, then in reward, then in dua. If they can't pay people back in kind, then pay them back in dua, because you can't maybe pay them back in kind. Somebody was there for you at a difficult time. Maybe you will not be able to be there for them in a similar time. You can't find the same way to pay them back in kind. So instead, what you do is you make dua for them until you feel that you have paid them back. And that's why when you hear someone making dua for you like that, then Aisha, what she would do is reply back to them, so that still that extra reward of the sadaqah would remain without any favor being given back, without any kind of recompense or anything in the worldly life that you got back from it. But if you gave sadaqah and someone said Jazakallah khairan, you took a benefit back. You gave something and you took something. But they wanted to be from the people who gave and they didn't take anything. So when the person would say Barakallahu feekum, wa feehim barakallah, and may Allah bless them too. So that the sadaqah that they gave was something for which they received nothing in return. And this can be a principle that you can live your life by. إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. We only give you food for the sake of Allah. لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. We don't want any reward from you or any thanks. And if a person lives their life like this, wallah, they will be from the most successful and happy of people. And I think it's one of the most basic concepts of feeling content, like self-content, being self-contentment, being content with yourself, is not to expect things from other people. Not to expect reward, not to expect people to be kind to you like you are kind to them. The more you attach your heart to Allah and you ask it from Allah, that's what matters. And that's how you should be in everything, whether it's your sadaqah or anything else, relationship with your family members. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلُ بِالْمُكَافِئِ. The one who keeps ties with the family members is not the one who does so because they do so reciprocally. They give, he gives, they give. He keeps ties, they keep ties. If you behave like that, you'll always be disappointed with people. But if you try to be the one who gives and doesn't expect anything back, the one who gives when people never gave anything to you, then this is what will bring a person about self-contentment and tazkiyatun nafs, purification of the soul. It's another means to purify the soul. الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَالَهُ يَتَزَكَّى. The person who gives their wealth and purifies themselves and their wealth. One of the means they purify themselves with is they don't expect any favor from anyone, and they're not doing it in response to something someone else did for them. And they avoid people doing favors for them wherever possible without paying them back. Like the Prophet ﷺ, he said that no one has ever done something except that we paid them back. We gave them back what they gave. Like we did to them the good that they did to us, except for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu wa arda. إِلَّا بَتِغَاءَ وَجِهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى. إِلَّا here is, and Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best, munqati', which means that it doesn't mean except here. إِلَّا generally means except. When it comes in the Quran, the word إِلَّا, it means except. However, إِلَّا, it can come, which we call munqati', broken, meaning that it doesn't refer to the objects that were mentioned before, or the things that were mentioned before. And the meaning of it then, it becomes the meaning of lakin, however. So, illa batigha, however, seeking the face of their Lord, the Most High. Seeking the face of their Lord, the Most High. Here, seeking the face of their Lord, Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, seeking to see the face of Allah in Jannah. And it seems to me that this is what the Salaf understood, rahimahumullah ta'ala. And that's what Shaykh Ibn Thaymeen said, rahimahullah ta'ala, when he was asked about it, that the asl, al-aslu fi dhalik, that the basic principle is, when it says, illa batigha awajihi rabbihi al-a'la, except seeking the face of their Lord, then it means to seek to see his face in Jannah. And there's no need for us to change that meaning to say to seek his reward or to seek his paradise or something like that. Rather, to seek the face of Allah, to seek to look at the face of Allah Azza wa Jal, the Most High. This is what appears to me from what I looked at from the statements of the scholars, that this idea of it meaning seeking the reward of Allah, that requires us to see from among the Salaf who said this, that ibtigha'a wajhi rabbihi al-a'la means seeking his reward. We have to go back and see who said this from the early scholars. But generally speaking, like Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala said, al-aslu fi dhalik, the basic meaning of that is seeking to see the face of Allah Azza wa Jal in Jannah. And that's the meaning that was taken by Ibn Kathir. And it is, to me, it's al-adhar, it's what is the most apparent meaning of the ayah, and Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. That the only reason this person is giving the sadaqah is because of seeing the face of Allah Azza wa Jal in paradise. And that, of course, includes the rewards of paradise that come with it. They want the reward of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the greatest of the rewards that Allah Azza wa Jal will give to the people of Jannah is to look at his face. وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. Faces on that day will be bright, looking at their Lord. And Allah Azza wa Jal said about the disbelievers, إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. On that day they will be veiled and covered, so they will not be able to see their Lord. So the greatest reward of the people of Jannah is to look at the face of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's what people are racing each other for. وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. Let the people compete with each other in this, in seeking the face of Allah Azza wa Jal, Al-A'la, Al-A'la. And Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-A'la, the Most High. And the ulu of Allah Azza wa Jal, the highness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The highness of Allah Azza wa Jal, it refers to three types of highness. It refers to ulu dhatin, wa ulu qadrin, wa ulu qahr. And Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'a, they affirmed all of these three. It affirms that Allah himself is high above his creation. He's above his arsh, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the poet, as he said, كَذَا لَهُ الْعُلُوُ وَالْفَوْقِيَّةِ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ بِلَا كَيْفِيَّةِ. In this way, Allah Azza wa Jal, he has al-ulu wal-fawqiyah. He is high and he is above his creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how we describe Allah Azza wa Jal. And as we mentioned before in other lectures, there are thousands of proofs. Some of the scholars said 1,000, some of them said 2,000. That prove that Allah Azza wa Jal is above his creation. And there are many, many evidences for this in the Quran, in the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and among them is the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, Al-A'la, the Most High. That Allah himself is above his creation, high above them, himself. Likewise, in status, Allah is also the Most High. And likewise, in Allah Azza wa Jal, compelling, and that none can go against his command, and that if he says kun fayakun, be and it is, and none has a chance to decline or deny the command of Allah Azza wa Jal when it comes. This is also from the ulu of Allah Azza wa Jal, ulu qahr, the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal subjugates his slaves. All of them are below Allah and Allah is above them, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Azza wa Jal himself is above his creation. We don't say that Allah is everywhere. We say that Allah Azza wa Jal is above, like the slave girl when she was brought before the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he said to her, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam radiyallahu anha, he said to her, Ain Allah, where is Allah? She said, Fis sama, Allah is above the heavens. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to her, Man ana, who am I? She said, You are the messenger of Allah. He said, free her فَإِنَّهَا مُؤْمِنَةً, for she is a believer. Because she said that Allah is above the heavens. جَلَّ فِي عُلَى, high above the heavens, subhanahu wa ta'ala, above his creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we describe Allah Azza wa Jal with al-ulu, with highness. And we say that Allah is above, with al-fawqiyah, that Allah is above. That's how Allah described himself. That's how the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam described him. And that's what's right and appropriate to say about Allah. That's what's the correct thing to say about Allah Azza wa Jal. Anyone who says that Allah Azza wa Jal is everywhere, this is an evil statement to make against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to say that Allah is everywhere. Because that would entail that Allah Azza wa Jal is present inside of the disbeliever, or inside of the idols, or the temples, the places which are impure, the bathrooms and so on. That's not allowed to say such things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, we do not say that Allah Azza wa Jal is everywhere, nor did Allah say that He is everywhere, nor did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that He's everywhere. Rather, the correct thing to say is that Allah is above His creation. That's what Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. Say, سُبْحَانَ رَبِّي الْأَعْلَى, the one who is the highest, the one who is the highest. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He told us, أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Do you feel safe that the one who is in the heavens is going to cause, يَخْسِفَ بِكُمُ الْأَرْضِ, cause the earth to swallow you up? فَإِذَا هِيَ تَمُورِ. Allah Azza wa Jal said, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. We sent it down in Laylat al-Qadr. Allah Azza wa Jal said, إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبِ. To Him rises up the good word. وَالْأَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُ. And the righteous deeds are raised up to Him. And we said the Prophet ﷺ specifically asked the servant girl, where is Allah? And she said, Allah is above the heavens. And he said, free her, for she is a believer. So this is all from the things that prove that Allah Azza wa Jal is above and is described with ulu, highness and fawqiyya. But that highness doesn't just mean Himself. Also His status is the highest, and also His power and subjugation of His slaves is also the highest. And all of these three are true about Allah Azza wa Jal. إِلَّا بَتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى. However, we said إِلَّا here means however. However, seeking the face of their Lord the Most High. That's the reason why they wanted to give this sadaqah, to purify themselves, to get what is with Allah Azza wa Jal. To look at the face of Allah Azza wa Jal, to have all of the blessings of paradise, among which the best of them and the highest of them is to look at the face of Allah Azza wa Jal. That's what they wanted. That's why they did what they did. And this is all about sincerity in terms of making the efforts, in terms of how a person seeks to purify themselves and get near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَىٰ. And that person will certainly be content. Will certainly be content. As we said, many of the scholars of tafsir, they said these ayat were all revealed about Abu Bakr. But we can make it more general than that, because we said al-atqa here doesn't have to mean the one with the most taqwa. It can mean al-taqi, the one who has taqwa. وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَىٰ. And this person who has this description of giving their wealth in that way, this person will certainly be content. And that's why Ibn Kathir, he said about this, مَنِ اتَّصَفَ بِهَذِي الصِّفَاتِ. Whoever has these descriptions of التَّقْوَى, الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَالَهُ يَتَزَكَّى, who gives their wealth in zakah, purifying themselves and purifying their wealth. وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجَزَىٰ, and doesn't have any favor from anyone in the past or expecting any favor in the future. إِلَّا بَتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْعَلَىٰ, only seeking the face of Allah the Most High, the one who this is their description, وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَىٰ, that person will certainly be content. And the lam here is jawab qasam, it's answering an oath, it's as though Allah said, وَاللَّهِ لَسَوْفَ يَرْضَىٰ, by Allah, that person will certainly be content. The contentment here doesn't have to be only in the akhirah. Rather, that person will be content in the dunya and the akhirah. And one of the things that makes you content in the dunya, as we said, is that you don't expect reward or favors from people. You don't ask for them and you don't expect them, neither in the past nor in the future. So in the past, you don't expect favors from people. Sorry, in the present, in the future, you don't expect favors from people. In the past, you don't encourage people to do favors for you. so that you are then tied to doing favors for them, or you feel burdened to do favors for them. Rather, you want to do favors for them without them having done anything for you. And if you do that, it will bring you contentment in the dunya and the greater contentment, which is the contentment of the akhirah. And there's no doubt that doing things for other people, helping out other people, is from the major means for a person to achieve contentment in this dunya and in the akhirah. Doing things for other people, looking out for other people, being the one who rushes to help out people when they need help. This is what brings a person contentment in the dunya and in the akhirah. The more you look out for other people and you try to be the one who is giving, not the one who is taking from people, not the one who is in need of help. And that doesn't mean your circumstances, because you're not in control of what your circumstances are, but you're not the one who seeks and goes out looking for help for your problems. We all have problems, but you're not rushing and looking for that help from people. You only want it from Allah, Azza wa Jal. And likewise, when you help people, you're looking to help other people with their problems. So you rush to help other people, but you don't rush for people to help you. That is the description of the one about whom Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى. This person will be truly content. As for their contentment in the Akhirah, and we said, some of the scholars, they said these ayat were revealed about Abu Bakr. In fact, it said that there is ijma' that the ayat were revealed about Abu Bakr. There's consensus on the matter. And as we said, it doesn't have to be limited to that. So there's no doubt that Abu Bakr is among the most, is the most deserving of the people after the prophets and the messengers, alayhim salatu wassalam, to be mentioned with these characteristics. But it doesn't exclude others from having a part of that. A part of that. And from this is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَقُولُ لِأَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah will say to the people of Jannah, يَا أَهْلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَيَقُولُونَ لَبَّيْكَ وَسَعْدَيْكَ وَالْخَيْرُ كُلُّهُ فِي يَدَيْكَ. He will say, O people of Jannah, the people of Jannah will respond, لَبَّيْكَ وَسَعْدَيْكَ. We're here, O Allah. We're answering your call, O Allah. And all good is in your hands. فَيَقُولْ هَلْ رَضِيْتُمْ. He will say, are you content? He will say to the people of Jannah, are you content? فيقولون وما لنا لا نرضى يا رب وقد أعطيتنا ما لم تعطي أحدا من خلقك. They said, how can we not be content, O Lord, when you have given us what you haven't given anyone else from your creation? فيقول ألا أعطيكم أفضل من ذلك. He will say, should I not give you better than that? فَيَقُولُونَ يَا رَبْ وَأَيُّ شَيْءٍ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. They will say, oh Lord, which thing is better than that? What is there that can be better than what you have given us? فَيَقُولُ أَحِلُّ عَلَيْكُمْ رِضْوَانِي فَلَا أَسْخَطُ عَلَيْكُمْ بَعْدَهُ أَبَدًا. He said that I will cause my pleasure, my contentment to be upon you, and I will never be angry with you ever again. The hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And also from the ahadith of Bukhari and Muslim, it's a statement of the Prophet ﷺ, إِذَا دَخَلَ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ الْجَنَّةِ. When the people of Jannah enter paradise, يَقُولُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. Allah will say to them, تُرِيدُونَ شَيْئًا أَزِيدُكُمْ. Do you want something that I can give you more? فَيَقُولُونَ أَلَمْ تُبَيِّضْ وُجُوهَنَا. Have you not made our faces bright? أَلَمْ تُدْخِلْنَا الْجَنَّةِ أَلَمْ تُدْخِلْنَا الْجَنَّةِ وَتُنَجِّنَا مِنَ النَّارِ. Did you not enter us into paradise? And did you not save us from the fire? Said then, Allah will remove the veil that is between them and him, and they have never been given anything more beloved to them than looking at the face of their Lord, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Looking at their Lord, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, blessed and exalted. وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى. That person will certainly be content with what Allah Azza wa Jal has given them. And the reward of Allah Azza wa Jal is what is more important. And that's what we should be connecting ourselves to. Like we said, a person who gives back what is given to them, this is good. A a person is a good person, we're not taking anything away from that. But the person who does things without asking for anything, hoping for anything, or having anything that they have to pay back in the first place, that person is the one who is striving for that contentment that Allah Azza wa Jal, that is with Allah Azza wa Jal, that exceeds everything that a person has been given in the life of this world. Rather, it even exceeds everything that has been given to them from the blessings of Jannah, the contentment of Allah. وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٌ. And the pleasure of Allah is better than all of that. And better than all of that is to look at the face of Allah Azza wa Jal in paradise. May Allah Azza wa Jal make you and I from those who look upon the face of Allah Azza wa Jal in Al-Firdaus Al-A'la, in the highest part of paradise. Allah Azza wa Jal is the one that we trust in to answer our dua, and He is the one who is able to do all things.
Jazakum Allah khairan for watching. Please subscribe, share, and you can visit muhammadtim.com.